From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening today as we turn to Romans chapter 12 to conclude this week our brief series of messages on the subject, A Yielded Life, the Only Proper Response of a Christian to the Gospel. We're continuing today to look at the latter part of Romans 12 from verse 14 to the end, and the specific theme of that is how we live a yielded life toward Christ and our God, being a savor of Christ as we live among sinners. So, stay with us as we look at what is, for a Christian, a very practical and a very, very important part of the Christian life. Before we get to God's Word, however, for the sermon, we'll be turning to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, for our daily devotional Bible study. We're dealing today with Thy righteousness, my glorious dress. Paul said, the righteousness which is of God is by faith. This verse for today summarizes the book of Romans, though we have taken it from Philippians 3 and verse 9. It deals with the heart of the gospel. Salvation is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. God is satisfied only with His own righteousness, which He offers freely to all who believe in the Lord Jesus. He cannot be satisfied with any righteousness that comes from fallen man. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. This truth isn't very flattering to human pride, yet the fact is that the best human righteousness is far from satisfying God, and so we're disqualified from any hope of acceptance or of justification on the ground of our own merits. However, the gospel brings the good news of a righteousness that's adequate and acceptable to God. This righteousness is available to us because the Son of God became a man and offered Himself without spot unto God. Having lived without sin, He died for our sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God, that is, the righteousness which God has provided for His believing people in the Lord Jesus Christ, wrought by His perfect obedience in life and in death, this righteousness of God is ours by faith, because by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, we are made one with Him, and all His merits and all His acceptance becomes ours in that union. Moreover, all His redeemed people are dressed in the glorious and precious raiment of that righteousness, so that they stand blameless before God, justified in Christ. Oh, may the Lord enable us ever to glory in Christ's righteousness, imputed to us and received by faith alone. The more our hearts are gripped by the truth of Christ's imputed righteousness, the more calmly can we stand in the presence of God, because our righteousness is the righteousness of God. And our thought for the day, from Robert Horn, in every period when God has awakened His people, the gospel of justification has come to the fore. It's coming very near to Christmas, and soon after that, the end of this year and the beginning of another. We'd like to mark all of those occasions by offering to you, our listeners, our special Let the Bible Speak 2007 colour calendar. Now, we want you to have it because we think you'll enjoy having it. It carries a series of beautiful pictures of Ireland, and I know that wherever I go in the world, people talk about the beauty of Ireland and how much they would love to see it. Well, we'll let you see it at least on the calendar. We think you'll enjoy it. But beyond that, we want you to use it, to be blessed by the scripture text that it sets before you, and then especially to use it to remember this ministry in prayer, because every time you look at it, you will be reminded of Let the Bible Speak and how it seeks to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to many millions of people around the world. We invite your prayer support. If you'd like to have your copy of the 2007 color calendar from Let the Bible Speak, we invite you to write or email or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you want to email us, our emailing address is ltbs at FreePres, FreePress, LTBS at freepres.org. And if you'd like to call us toll free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to send you this lovely color calendar that will keep you, I trust, praying for us throughout 2007.
Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love.
And now let's turn back to Romans chapter 12. We're looking at verses 14 through 21 this week. Yesterday, having read the passage, I pointed out that here the Apostle Paul is echoing the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said in Matthew 5:44-45, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Here in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is picking up that theme as he deals with the Christian's yielded life among the unsaved. As I said yesterday, it's difficult very often for Christians to live in the world. We love the Lord. If he has done a work of grace in our heart, then our hearts want to please him. We don't like to see him blasphemed or his cause opposed. But we live in a world that's ungodly and unclean. It's the enemy of God and the enemy of Christ, and therefore the enemy of all who stand for God and for his Christ. The Lord Jesus made this clear to his disciples. If they have hated me, they'll hate you. If they have called me Beelzebub, you know what to expect when they come to describing you. If you were of the world, he told his disciples, then the world would love his own. But you're not of the world, therefore the world will hate you. And we all find this. The world is not an easy place for Christians to live. You may be out in the workplace. You know that it's not easy to live for Christ in the workplace. Sometimes the language isn't very good. Sometimes the topic of conversation is not very nice. Sometimes you'll find yourself mocked or opposed. Sometimes you'll even find yourself viciously discriminated against simply because you are a Christian. It's very easy to react to such situations after the flesh and deal with fleshliness in a fleshly way. But here's the height of the selflessness and the yieldedness to Christ that the gospel demands of a Christian. We are told in Romans 12, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Yesterday I pointed out that in many ways the summary statement regarding the duty of a Christian who's responding to the gospel and living in yieldedness to God in the light of the gospel, as he lives in an evil world, is given in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, that's about as far as we got yesterday. That's the general command. Now we're going to look at some of the details of how we seek to do this. As I say, the fundamental duty of the Christian, whose relations with sinners is governed by the gospel, is to overcome evil with good. Don't let the evil overcome you. Don't let the bitterness of the world enter into your soul. Don't let the conflict of the world make you a misanthropic, bitter person, but rather overcome evil with good. There is actually there a wonderful promise that the Lord gives. Light is stronger than darkness. Darkness doesn't dispel light. Light dispels darkness. Good is stronger than evil. And while evil may seem to prosper for a while, yet the gospel is the power of God, and the goodness of God is mighty and powerful. Therefore, we will ultimately overcome. Christ is the conqueror. Christ is the ultimate overcomer. The last of the story shows Christ, the mighty victor, the mighty conqueror. So don't let the momentary appearance of evil's conquest or evil having the upper hand make you lose sight of the ultimate victory. Christ is the conqueror. Good will prevail. So set out not to be overcome by the evil that's around you, not to compromise with the evil that's around you, but to overcome it with good. Now, the details of how to do that come out in verse 14 through verse 20. If we believe the gospel, if we would be a savor of Christ among men, then this is what we are told. We must deal with our enemies as Christ dealt with his enemies. Verse 14 says again, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Verse 20 says, therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, here's what we're told to do regarding our enemies. This picks up what the Apostle Peter tells us in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. For even hereunto were ye called, that is, unto suffering. That's a truth that isn't very popular nowadays among Christians. In a day when the charismatic delusion, and I have absolutely no compunction in calling it that, the charismatic delusion has conditioned people into thinking that suffering is always the result of sin or unbelief or some inferior experience of God. Whereas the Bible says, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but suffered. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now what Paul and Peter are telling us very clearly is, we know how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with his enemies. And that's how we should deal with people who are our enemies. Notice again, bless them which persecute you. That's very easy for us to read those words when we live in a country where there's really not much outright persecution. I know that on an individual level, many people are persecuted in their home, in their business, etc. But very few people in the United States actually have to face death for their faith. Many parts of the world, Christians are meeting under threat of death. It's true in many Islamic countries, Saudi Arabia, it's dangerous to be a Christian. Iran, Iraq, nowadays it's dangerous to be a Christian. It's dangerous to be a Christian in Indonesia. It's dangerous to be a Christian in many parts of India. It's dangerous to be a Christian in North Korea. I read of a young girl who was brutally butchered for the awful crime of having secreted a Bible to read a few pages of the Word of God. It's dangerous to be a Christian in communist China. There are many parts of the world where Christians are meeting under threat of death. And you know, they are meeting and they are worshipping and they are witnessing and they are standing and they are praying and they are preaching and they are winning the lost for Christ under those circumstances. But here in this country, we're not really, at least yet, in that position. So it's easy for us to read these words where Paul says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. When Paul wrote those words, he was writing to people who were being ruled by one of the worst tyrants in history, the Hitler of his age, if you want it. Nero was a violent, evil man. He was the Roman emperor. But Paul says that you do not curse such a one, you bless such a one. He says you should suffer what's handed out to you, suffer it with the Spirit of Christ. But when that same enemy who causes you to suffer is hungry, feed him. When he's thirsty, give him drink. As I say, this is the height of selflessness and yieldedness to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is indeed what it is to be like Christ in our relationship with men as we live in an evil world. You know, we're always hearing from political pundits how America is a very polarized nation. Nothing particularly new about that. When President Clinton was in office, he generated a lot of devotion on one side and a lot of determined opposition on the other side. I would say that when he was in office, there weren't an awful lot of Bible-believing conservative Christians who were praying for him. Now, I know there were some, but I think a lot of Christians took their attitude to Bill Clinton, and I'm not defending Bill Clinton's immorality. I'm not standing for his political vision. I'm not talking politics at all, in fact. But I am making the statement that a lot of Christians took their attitude to President Clinton more from Rush Limbaugh than they did from the Lord Jesus Christ or from the Holy Word of God. There are others, and nowadays they hate President Bush with a terrible hatred. And again, they take their attitude to the current president not from Christ. They may disagree with him on many things. I'm not here, as to say, to discuss a political agenda. I am here, however, to say that Christians disagreeing should not take the attitude of the world, and they should not be governed by the political or social or even religious prejudices of this evil world. Rather, they should be governed by likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does the gospel tell you to deal with people who are against you? People who are persecuting you? People who are showing themselves your enemies? How does the gospel say you ought to deal with them? I knew a young man whose entire career was being put in jeopardy, right when he seemed to have the world at his feet. His whole career, his entire future was being put in jeopardy by the unreasonable hatred, I would have to say, of a superior. And she had no reason for what she was doing that anybody could see. Her position was not only unreasonable, it was untruthful. So what was he to do? It was very easy to get bitter. But when an opportunity came, when her back was against the wall, when her own future was in danger because she couldn't make progress where she had to make progress, he came alongside, he offered his help, He showed her a way through where she thought there was no way through, and he won her over by showing the goodness of the grace of God in the life of a Christian. Overcome evil with good, bless and curse not. It is said of Martin Luther that he believed that a Christian was to be a little Christ. Certainly we are to be like Christ, and this is the place to start. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.